Luke chapter 2 and verse number 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Thus ends the reading of our scripture text. Look at somebody and say these words: no manger,
no miracle.
Look at somebody else, tell them: no manger,
no miracle.
God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again that you blessed us to study and prepare for your word to not only be released, but also to be received into our hearts. Thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for the testimonies that we've heard and the songs that we can celebrate. That no matter how rough the road gets, we still need to continue to look to you. You're our strength and our very present help in the time of need. I pray you'd bless us now as we gather together to hear your word. Give us, Lord, the anointing of your Holy Spirit that we might become doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. No manger, no miracle. Perhaps it would be a good time for us to now look and see where we stand as far as our relationship with Christ. And I know a lot of people have celebrated Christmas and they have enjoyed the festivities. They've enjoyed all of the splendor and the pageantry, the lights, and all of the wonderful things that can come in celebrating this glorious time of the year. But for some, it's been a tough Christmas. But you can't give up now. You got to keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. And may I say to you that the first Christmas was a tough one. It wasn't easy for what we might call now the Holy Family. Joseph and Mary had to make a long trek from Galilee all the way down to Bethlehem, where they had to participate in this thing called a census. They were being numbered by the Romans because the Romans wanted to know how many people they had so that they could collect more taxes. That's the way it is. And so imagine in your mind being with child. I know, men, you can't go there, but anyway, just try to go there. 9 months, and now you are carrying a child, having to travel all the way to Bethlehem, sometimes on foot, sometimes, as you see the little picture, on a donkey. But it's even questionable whether or not they were rich enough to own a donkey. Anybody in the house? You know, there are poor folk in this land. They're impoverished people. And I wish that people could understand that. As a matter of fact, when they got to Bethlehem, it was so rough that they couldn't even find a place to sleep. Now, if they had money, money talks. I guarantee you one of those innkeepers would have kicked somebody out if you could come up with the duckies. But they didn't have it. They were a poor family. This should say something about Christ coming into this world. His entrance into this world could have been and perhaps should have been in a palace, or certainly the temple at Jerusalem should have accommodated him. But the comment that we have in the Bible is that there was no room for them in the inn. Isn't that something? Finally, one of the innkeepers had a little compassion and said, well, all I got is a stable. All I have is a place where animals lodge. You can have that. And it's a mighty coincidence that this was God's plan all along. the manger. Not a holy throne, not even a hospital room, a manger. First, the manger tells us that this is really the condition of man, a place where animals sleep, and, you know, animals don't care where they use the bathroom. They just let it go. Filthy. Who would want to give birth in an unsanitary place like that? But it speaks to the condition of mankind. It speaks a lot about the situation that we were in. And I might even call it a manger situation because, excuse the expression, but we had a whole lot of crap in our life. Y'all ain't that holy. Look at somebody and say, don't play. I know you look good for Christmas, but you had a whole lot of crap in your life. It should have been a cathedral as its welcome place. But instead it was a manger because God understood exactly where mankind was. The manger was the best that we could do because it spoke to our not only condition of depravity, but it also spoke to our attitude. Jesus was needed, but he wasn't wanted. A whole lot of people pray to God because they need something, but God is not necessarily wanted. God giving you stuff, but you can stay where you are. Are y'all going to pray? So it talks about our condition. If we would be honest with ourselves and if we would be real, every one of us have broken God's law. The law came by Moses to condemn us. Every one of you. You don't deserve a Savior. But God said, I'm going to send him anyway. Didn't have any room in the inn, but he came anyway. Sometimes we don't have time for God, but he comes anyway. Sometimes we talk about Jesus on Sunday for a few hours, but you know what? He comes anyway. One hymn writer said, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. The angel came with that announcement, and I thought as I read the passage, I said, Lord, why the manger? And the Lord whispered back to me, that's the best that man could do. That's the best that man wanted to do. But not only was the birthplace of Jesus the best or descriptive of the nature of man and how man was in depravity, but it also was the birthplace of Jesus' mission. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Don't forget that Jesus was a Jew. I said, don't forget that Jesus was a Jew. A lot of people don't like the Jews. A lot of people try to paint picture of Jesus being, you know, we got pictures of him with the afro, you know. He cool. He looks like me. And a lot of times we want to associate God. We want to form God so we get God to look a little bit like us. What does God look like? He looks like me. Jesus was a Jew. In order for him to become king of the Jews, he had to be born of the Jews, of a certain line called the line of David. He had to make his entrance into this world because he had a mission. He didn't come to just stay in the manger. Look at somebody said he was born there, but he didn't stay there. Every time they were trying to take Jesus and put him in a place, he didn't stay there. A storm tried to keep him from his mission, and so the storm brewed on the sea, stirred things up, stirred up the disciples, but Jesus simply spoke to the storm and kept on about his mission. They even tried to take Jesus and put him in jail, but they couldn't catch him because he couldn't stay there anyway. When they finally caught him and they nailed him to the cross, and they said, "That's it," Jesus didn't stay on the cross. They took him down from the cross, put him in a tomb, and thinking that's it, even the demons of darkness said, "That's it, man, we got him. We got him now." But guess what? He didn't stay there. How can I preach, Brother Bolden? Here's the thing I want you to see. If any person is in Christ, you might be down right now, but guess what? I ain't staying there. The birthplace of Jesus was the birthplace of his mission. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Remember, I told you that man's condition was sinful. And Jesus said, "If that's the best you can do, I'll come there. You don't have to get to me because you can't get to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on down from glory into your world." One theologian said he condescended. We like to put it, he ascended, but no. He had to, you know, when somebody speaks down to you, you ever had people to kind of, you know, they speak down to you. I had an attorney one time. He confused me. I was in a position where I had to ask him questions, but he ended up asking me questions, making me look dumb. He was using words, Doris, that I couldn't understand. He used the word, "I don't mean to be pejorative," and I said, "I got to get my dictionary. This man is..." Jesus' condescension does not mean he's putting you down, but he had to come down. You were in a manger mess, and it had come down to the manger, the place where animals were kept because we were acting like animals. We had no law to rule in our hearts. We had no righteousness in our veins. And so a manger was the place where God landed. I wish I could talk for just a little bit here. That's where the place where Jesus said, "I'm going to set up shop." The Lord of the universe. Now, something that when he came down in the Old Testament, he came on Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. And the Bible said the mountain was lit up with the power of God. The earth shook so much that Moses had to say to himself, "My heart quaked within me." He had to say, "My God." He lit up everything, shook the mountain caught fire as God descended upon Mount Sinai. And the people got back and said, "Moses, you talk to him. I can't talk to him. He's too holy for me." But when he came down in the New Testament, he didn't light up the sky. The angels did. But he simply came down in the form of a little baby at Bethlehem. And then the angel said, "You're going to find him now, but you got to go looking. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But don't let the manger confuse you and fool you, because he was on a mission to save us. He was on a mission to destroy the works of the devil, because the devil had deceived us in thinking that we were all right. Remember, I told you we were in a manger mess. Anybody ever been in a manger mess? Let me take y'all to the country, because y'all, some of y'all city folk don't know what I'm talking about. Among the things that you would do on the farm, one of the duties that you had, daddy would say, "Come on, boy, we're going to clean out the barn." Now, that didn't mean arrange the hay. I want you to get that out of your mind. That didn't mean clean out the little place there. Like I told you, animals don't care. They ain't got no manners. You had to scoop the poop. That's it. I told you, y'all too holy. You too righteous. It smelt bad. It was deplorable. But that was Jesus' mission, to clean the manger of your heart. Can I preach to you just a little bit? His mission was to pick you up, clean you off, place you out of the devil's kingdom into the kingdom of his domain, where you can now look up and call him Lord and Savior. Oh, is anybody in the building today? That's the meaning of the manger. But now we must look at the message of the manger. The meaning of the manger is that that's the condition of your heart. That's the area of ministry where now Jesus wants to deeply engage you. Yeah, when my dad would say, we're going to clean out the barn, that didn't mean clean around the barn. I'm coming down somebody's street. That didn't mean make the barn look good on the outside. Some of y'all, you know, saying, well, getting ready to make a New Year's Eve resolution. Well, New Year, I know the Lord dealing with me, so I'm going to give up gambling. I ain't gonna play the numbers no more. Somebody else said, you know what, I'm going to quit cussing. Every time I get mad, I'm going to give me a Bible verse and I'm going to pull it out. Yeah, somebody else saying, you know what? I'm not going to let my temple get next to me next year. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. But you're cleaning around the barn. And sooner or later, the mess that's in the barn going to get back to the outside, and you're worse off than what you were in the first place. Hello? Jesus said, I got to come in. I got to come all the way in. I've got to get into the situation of your heart. I got to be a mind regulator to you. I need to be a heart fixer. Because then and only then can it be declared a place where I will dwell. And I'll dwell with you forever. Let's look at the message here. Let's look at the message. We know the meaning. Let's look at the message. The message of the manger was announced by none other than the angels of glory. Someone, theologian, even suggests that God picked the main angel. If you notice and if you read the text, there was an announcer, the announcing angel. And I was reading where that announcing angel was the highest ranking angel in glory that ascended upon that little town of Bethlehem outside that hill. And he stood there and proclaim this mighty word from God. I love to hear from God. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That was the announcer. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. See, the angels were used to giving God praise. They didn't have any problem with lifting up their hands. They didn't have any problem with flapping their wings. If they had wings, they didn't have any problem with giving God all the glory. But you get into the church and some, I know they ain't supposed to be a part of the Christian death, but I'm preaching anyway. You get into the church and some folk don't even want to say amen. After all the Lord's done for you, brought you a mighty long way, kept you a long time, you couldn't have not woken up this morning if it had not been for the Lord. Can I preach to you? If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where in the world would I be? I would be lost. I would be undone. But thank God I got a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You wonder, why am I getting so excited? I'm getting excited because the text includes me. You say, preacher, I don't see where the text includes me. That's because you haven't read it. The scripture said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all. Yes, Lord. To all men. All men. I got to be in there somewhere. I got to be in that number. All men. The message is to you today. I used to watch the Johnny Carson show when it came on. And I think this is the greatest earthly example of announcers. Ed McMahon would come out each evening. He didn't give it a lot of fanfare. He didn't say a whole lot of words. He simply said, here's Johnny. Man, everybody started applauding and clapping. They just, that can't match what God did outside Bethlehem. And in just a few words, the angel said, unto you is born this day. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Those of you all that have problem with giving your testimony and have problem with maybe getting your scripture references correct, you ain't got to say a whole lot to people when they ask you about Jesus. All you got to say is, here's Jesus. When they talk about you, when they lounge, when they call you everything but a child of God, all you got to do is stand up and say, here's Jesus. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good Savior. Anybody in the house today? Anybody glad you know him? As a matter of fact, it got to the point on the Tonight Show that McMahon, you know, he got to be the center of attention because he could really introduce him. Are you introducing Jesus? And I know what you're saying, preacher, I can't do it because I'm in a manger mess. But didn't I tell you that if there's no manger, there's no miracle? But thank God for the manger. Thank God for the place where Jesus was born. And I can tell you today, he's not looking for somebody to carry him around and birth him into this world. He's just looking for a place to grow. I wish I could talk to somebody today. And I know you can't stand the grown-up Jesus, but would you please accept maybe the small Christ child and let him grow up in you? Are y'all going to talk to me? All you got to do is invite him in. But you're saying, wait a minute, I can't do that preaching because, I still got stuff I do. I still got my manger mess to deal with. But if you would simply open your heart and life, if you would simply listen to the one that's at the door. Jesus said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone would let me in, look at somebody, tell them, let him in. Look at somebody else, tell them, let him in. If you let him in, he said, I'll sup with you. By the way, that big word means I'll eat with you. I'll eat what you eat. And I tell you what, if you let him into your house, when you leave your house, he'll let you into his. Somebody didn't understand. Well, did I miss somebody? Did I overlook somebody? Jesus is saying, I know your house is a mess, but it ain't gonna stay a mess when I get in there. I'm going to first of all say, let there be light. Too dark up in here. Oh, wait a minute, I ain't turning the light on because I got roaches in the corner. Turn the light on anyway. I told you, y'all too sanctified. Wait a minute, Lord, let me sweep up. No, you got the wrong broom anyway. Let him in, he'll sweep up. Can I talk about it? My grandma said he'll pick you up and he'll turn you around. He'll place your feet on solid ground. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Look at me. I used to be lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And all I had to do was say, here is Jesus. See, the message has got to get on the inside. It's got to get on the inside. And once it gets on the inside, you don't have to worry about it getting on the outside. You will find the Holy Spirit taking charge of your life, directing you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Lastly, we look at not just the message and not just the meaning, but the miracle, the true miracle. Did you not know that anything that Jesus touches, he changes? That little stable that used to be nowhere is now the center of attention. Matter of fact, the folk want to make money on it. You know what I'm saying? You go to Jerusalem or Bethlehem, and they're going to try to take you to the place where Jesus supposedly was born here. They want to capitalize on it. Now, put aside the fact of people manipulating. But look at what that might mean for a pilgrim who goes looking and saying, well, I want to see if the fact is there. Fact is, you still got a Bethlehem. Still got a place where they celebrate where Christ was born. Maybe not on December the 25th. Oh, I know, man, I bust somebody's bubble. I could hear that thing pop, boy. The Bible says shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You try not to stay outdoors if it was winter. Are y'all in the house? I done messed up with somebody. I got to go on clothes. I done messed up somebody's theology. I'm so sorry. But if the date was so important, Luke would have included it. He left the date open so that any day you make up your mind that you want to receive him, it can be your day. It can be any day. But what I will tell you is that you cannot put it off. You cannot put it off. This brings me to the miracle. Every place where they tried to put Jesus, he just wouldn't stay there. Tried to put him on the cross. He got off the cross and put him in a tomb. He got out of the tomb. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The miracle is, what could he do now in your life? And I want to tell you something. That miracle is going to be something that will unfold until the day we meet him. Here's what he will start doing. Not just snatch you from the devil's grip. Not just redeem you from hell and punishment. But this Jesus will give you life, that you might have it more abundantly. I told you he's already been birthed. Now he just needs to grow. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new through this Jesus. We got the problem of the manger, which represents our life, but that's okay. He doesn't mind a mess, because the miracle is, he will change you from being a mess into being a miracle. Will that work? Will that work? The ministry of transformation. Christ comes to transform us, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. The evidence is that the possession of the Holy Spirit now makes you a child of God. The shepherds found out about them. They arrived at the place where the angel had said, They looked at what the angel had given them as far as information. What changed among those shepherds? When they saw, they believed. They believed. There was the information. They could have said, okay. Or they could have said, aha, we found what we were looking for. Now, I got to say this before I close. Shepherds were kind of known as fishermen. They were kind of type. You know, fishermen weren't always known for telling the truth. They had these big stories. The fish may have been like this, and they would say it was like that. Shepherds could always come up with stories. And so when the shepherds got the message on the inside, people couldn't see the miracle because they couldn't look past the one that the miracle was in. I'm getting ready to go to my seat, but I can't close until I tell you this. I got to tell you this. You know, when you get God in your life, people will look at you and say, yeah. They don't just nod. They suck their teeth and they go, yeah. But when you, in your manger mess, get the Savior, the Messiah inside of you, I'm not what I look like. Are y'all still here? And guess what? You don't know, like I know, what he's done for me. Testify to your neighbor and tell him, you don't know, like I know what he's done for me. Yeah, I was in a manger mess, but when Jesus came along, now I can walk right now. I can talk right now. There's a change in my life. The Bible said that not only were the angels rejoicing in this text, but when the shepherds got it, they went back to their home. They went back. Oh, man, yeah, we got some sheep. I forgot all about the sheep. But you know who was tending the sheep while they were looking for Jesus? God was taking care of them. Go on, look for them. I'll keep your little sheep up here. Now is your time to demonstrate to the world. Don't go looking for a manger. Just look at me. See how the Lord brought me a long way. I was a manger mess, but now I'm a miracle. Because Jesus loved me, and if Jesus loved me, he will love you also. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. I thank God for each one of you. Praise God for how he's ministering in your life and how he's working things out in your life. Before we close the service, we do want to celebrate what we call communion. We recognize and we remember what Christ has done for us. His death on the cross, not just his birth, but his death on the cross, that he might redeem us. He gave his body because of our sin. We laid our sin upon him. His body was broken. Not broken literally, but broken in the sense that he bore our sin. He gave his blood that it might be the atoning blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But before we share that, I want to give the invitation. Is there someone, anybody, that will open their heart and say, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve it, but would you come into my life? Would you just come in and cleanse me? That's the simple prayer. You don't have to go through a lot of fanfare. I know we tell you in church, come on down the aisle and do it. But if something doesn't happen on the inside, you're coming down the aisle. They ain't going to make it happen. If you're online, invite Jesus to come in. If you're in the parking lot, invite Jesus to come in. If you're in here, invite Jesus to come in. Don't worry about doing a lot of cleanup. He'll do that when he comes in. Doors are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Lord, bless now that person who's making that decision. May they look beyond their own faults and see a Savior in the time of need. Keep them, I pray, through your will. And Lord, as we're praying, we do pray over these sacraments that you would sanctify them for the use of glorifying you and edifying ourselves, that we might learn more about what you really did for us when you died on Calvary. Change the bread from its natural form, change this wine from its natural form to a spiritual use, to bless and benefit our bodies and our minds and souls for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.